Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 57.
House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the doors. Members and visitors will please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative John. We'd ask all of our guests, our members to stand, as well as our guests in the gallery, and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative John.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, we pause before we begin deliberations again this afternoon to ask your help and guidance as we work through these many bills, all this proposed legislation. We ask that you help us make the best decision we can. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for May 6th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Pierce moves the journal for May 6th to be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is so approved as written. Petitions, memorials, papers addressed to the General Assembly of the House. Corporal Reed.
April 21st, 2021, Your Honorable Timothy K. Moore, Dear Speaker Moore, I have the honor of transmitting the following Senate joint memorials which have passed the Idaho State Senate and the Idaho State House of Representatives during the first regular session of the 66th Idaho Legislation. Senate Joint Memorial Number 102. The legislature of the state of Idaho urges Congress to propose and keep the 9th Amendment to the United States Congress. Respectfully yours, Jennifer Novak, Secretary of the Idaho State Senate.
Noting the correspondence will remain on file in the House Principal Corps Office. Additionally, chapter bills will be noted. Representative Moffitt, recognized, sent forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representative Moffitt, Alcohol Beverage Control Committee Report, House Bill 890, ABC Omnibus Legislation, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and we refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitutes referred to Committee on Rules. Representative McNeil, recognized, sent forth committee report. Carter Reed.
Representative McNeil, Pensions and Retirement Committee Report, House Bill 741, Line of Duty Death Benefit, 9/11 Operators, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to Rules. Representative Moffitt, recognized, sent forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representative Moffitt, Alcohol Beverage Control Committee Report, House Bill 669, Distribute Alcohol Without Discrimination, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, referred to Rules. Representatives Hanning and Wofford, recognized, sent forth committee report. Cargo Reed.
Representative Hanning and Wofford, Local Government Committee Report, House Bill 199, Mooresville Tourism Development Authority Change, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to Rules.
House Bill 812, Clarify Remote Meeting During Emergencies, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to Rules. Representatives Rogers and Zachary, recognized, sent forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representative Rogers and Zachary, Judiciary 3 Committee Report, House Bill 7, Protect City Employees from Retaliation, favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Committee substitute number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number 2 is referred to Rules.
House Bill 47, Concealed Carry in the General Assembly, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to state government.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee sub is referred to the Committee on State Government. Introduction of bills, resolutions. Corporal Reed.
Representative Sexton, House Bill 896, Fair and Equitable Reimbursement Pharmacists.
Insurance, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representative Zoka, Myra, Bell, and Reeves, House Bill 897, Address False Campaign Claims.
Judiciary 1, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representatives Sasser and Ark, House Bill 898, Water, Sewer Utility Availability Fee.
Energy and Public Utilities, if favorable finance, if favorable rules.
Representative Hardister, Hennick, Warren, and Harris, House Bill 899, North Carolina Work and Save.
Commerce, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representative Destin Hall and Brendan Jones, House Joint Resolution 900, Support Lumbee Recognition Act.
Calendar for today.
Representatives Richardson and Hardister, House Bill 901, Modify NC Innocence Inquiry Provision.
Judiciary 2, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representative Logan, Garrison, and Robinson, House Bill 902, Record and Store Highway Camera Video Funds.
Transportation, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representative Setzer, Everett, Howard, and Dahl, House Bill 903, School Calendar Flexibility Statewide.
Education, K-12, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules. Messages from the Senate, Corporal Reed.
Senate Bill 901, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to entitle an act to provide patient visitation rights will not be impacted during declared disaster and emergencies, and directed to the Department of Health and Human Services to impose a civil penalty for any violations of those rights.
Rules.
Senate Bill 201, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act permitting the use of electronic signatures on owner retained salvage forms and eliminating the requirement that the form must be notarized.
Rules.
Senate Bill 208, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act making various changes to the labor laws of North Carolina.
Rules.
Senate Bill 228, Committee Substitute Number 2, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to lower health care costs and expand access to allowing small business to offer exclusive benefit plans.
Rules.
Senate Bill 235, Committee Substitute Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to appropriate funds for the operations of new state veteran home in Kernersville and the 2021 fiscal year.
Rules.
Senate Bill 277, First Edition, a bill to be entitled an act making technical corrections and other conforming and clarifying changes to the laws governing the teachers and state employees retirement system, the local government commission, and to the other related statutes.
Rules.
Senate Bill 329, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to exempt certain small projects from architectural building code and building permit requirements.
Rules.
Senate Bill 345, First Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to adjust the supervision arrangements of physician assistants and to make various changes to the licensure of physician's assistants.
Rules.
Senate Bill 452, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to generally prohibit a local government that operates a public enterprise from billing a landlord or service provided on premises that a landlord no longer owns, leases, or occupies.
Rules.
Senate Bill 455, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to discriminate certain local ordinances to provide compliance with defense of an ordinance violation.
Rules.
Senate Bill 462, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act amending certificate need laws to expand access to lower cost.
Rules.
Senate Bill 473, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to enhance the independence of the annual audit of units of local government previously and subject to an audit of the state auditor to require garnishment of certain monies owed to an elected official and the unit of local government in certain circumstances to provide as a crime for an elected official to misuse or elected officials of personal financial gain and to provide that the public officer also serving on a nonprofit board shall not exchange or self-dealing with regard to award and public agency contractors to that nonprofit.
Rules.
Senate Bill 474, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make certain amendments to the septage management program within the Department of Environmental Quality's Division of Waste Management.
Rules.
Senate Bill 505, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to prevent North Carolinians from becoming victims of supervisor billing of out-of-work network health care providers that rendered health care services at health services facilities are in network with an individual health benefit plan.
Rules.
Senate Bill 542, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to allow North Carolina State Health Plan for teachers and state employees to adopt a program incentive plan members to report activities such as fraud, waste, and abuse of health care providers providing services to the plan.
Rules.
Senate Bill 552, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to limit who may advertise for an adoption of a minor child under the law pertaining to adoptions.
Rules.
Senate Bill 574, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to allow a change of beneficiary under life insurance policy that a beneficiary was selected under fraudulent circumstances or false pretenses.
Rules.
Senate Bill 586, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to direct the Legislative Research Commission to study lumpectomy.
Rules.
Senate Bill 644, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify and reaffirm the statutory authority of landlords to recover out-of-pocket expenses and litigation costs in summary, ejected proceedings, and to make various changes to the landlord-tenant statutes.
Rules.
Senate Bill 690, first edition, a bill to be entitled an act to modify the membership of the Council of Women Advisory Board, State Youth Advisory Council, and North Carolina Internship Council by providing appointments to the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the Speaker Pro Tem of the Senate, and the Lieutenant Governor.
Rules.
Senate Bill 707, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to provide airport authorities to operate with additional notice and opportunity to commit in the adoption of land use regulations.
Rules. Mr. Clerk, members, Chair is going to do a couple of referrals here. House Bill 869, short title, Consumer Protection Online Marketplace Disclosures. The bill is withdrawn from Committee on Commerce, referred to the Committee on Rules. House Bill 324, the short title is Plan A for Charter Schools. That bill is withdrawn from Rules, referred to the Committee on Education, K-12, with a serial referral to Rules. House Bill 561, short title, Local Confinement Facility Inspection Appeals, is withdrawn from State Government, referred to the Committee on Rules. House Bill 646, short title Dental Care Act, is withdrawn from Insurance, referred to the Committee on Rules. House Bill 177, short title State Health Plan Administrative Changes, withdrawn from Insurance, referred to the Committee on Rules. House Bill 712, short title Preservation of Workforce Housing, is withdrawn from the Committee on Local Government Land Use and is referred to the Committee on Rules. House Bill 599, short title Vets, Military Free Admission State Attractions, withdrawn from Homeland Security, referred to the Committee on Rules. The serial referral to Appropriations is stricken. House Bill 524, short title Oral Chemo Treatment Access During Pandemics, withdrawn from Insurance, referred to Rules. House Bill 393, Health Insurance, former City Council Greensboro, is withdrawn from insurance for the pensions. And House Bill 663, Toll Lane Penalty, is withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and is referred to the Committee on Rules. The House will come back to order. As you're likely aware, if you've been watching this, the majority party had a caucus that ran late, so we were able to start and dispose of all the admin matters. And so we're now moving forward into the calendar. Members, there are six local bills that can be grouped together. I know there are members that don't like to vote on the occupancy taxes or don't like to vote for those, so the chair would suggest that we group House Bill 350, 397, 412, and 443, which are the occupancy tax bills, into one grouping, and then that we group the annexation bills, 375 and 171, into their own grouping. Is there objection to those groupings being done as directed? Okay, strike the part on 171. 171 has to be voted on separately. But other than that, any objection to those occupancy taxes all being grouped together? Hearing none, so ordered. House bills 350, 397, 412, and 443. The clerk will read.
Representatives Garrison and Willingham, House Bill 350, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize Warren County to levy an occupancy tax. Representative Fless, House Bill 397, a bill to be entitled an act to conform to increase the Yancey County occupancy tax authorization. Representative Fless and Clampett, House Bill 412, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize town of Maggie Valley and Canton to levy an occupancy tax. Representative Arp, House Bill 443, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize the town of Indian Trail and a portion of the town of Stallings to levy an occupancy tax. Jonestown of North Carolina annexed.
Question before the House is, are the passage of the following bills, House Bills 350, 397, 412, and 443. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Thank you. Go ahead, Representative Bowles. I'll wait, hold the vote open on occupancy taxes. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 102 having voted in the affirmative and 9 in the negative. House Bills 350, 397, 412, and 443 have passed their second reading and remain on the calendar. House Bill 375, the clerk will read.
Representative McNeil. House Bill 375, a bill to be entitled an act removing the cap on satellite annexation for the towns of Franklinville, Liberty, and Ramsua, and removing the certain described property from the corporate limits of the city of Roxborough. General Assembly of the North Carolina annexed.
Jennifer Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. This adds Franklinville, Liberty, and Ramsua to those list of counties that are exempt from the 10% satellite cap annexation and removes a piece of property from the corporate limits of Roxborough. I appreciate your positive vote.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 375 on second reading. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Warren wish to vote on the bill? Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. House Bill 375 passed the second reading, remains on the calendar. Senate Bill 171, the clerk will read.
Senators Johnson, Senate Bill 171, a bill to be entitled An Act Removing the Capitol Satellite Annexation for the Town of Belleville and Wingate, removing certain described property from the corporate limits of the Town of Surf City, and removing certain described property from the corporate limits of the City of Asheboro. Gentleman, Senator North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arps, recognized to debate the bill.
This is an annexation issue. Know of no opposition. This is all kumbaya. I ask for your support.
Question for the House, Pastor. Senate Bill 171 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Following members wish to record: Torbett, Shepherd, Adams, Candy Smith. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 108 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. Senate Bill 171 passed the second reading, remains on the calendar. House Bill 664, the clerk will read.
Representatives Clemens, Lambert, Pickett, and Lofton, House Bill 664, a bill to be entitled an act authorizing counties established service districts finance and early childhood education program. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
Wade from Guilford, Representative Clemens, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a good vote. Just ask for a green vote this time as well. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 664 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Adams and Brody wish to vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 95 having voted in the affirmative, 16 the negative. House Bill 664 passes its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. Members, the chair is going to move around the calendar here a bit to try to take care of some matters that may not take as long. Senate Bill 103, clerk will read.
Senators Perry, Lee, and Barnes. Senate Bill 103, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce unnecessary regulatory restraints through applied behavior analysis. General Senator of North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bells, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is the autism bill. It's already been debated on the floor. We've worked with the Senate on this and our counterparts, and have a bill that will move forward, and then we'll be able to address some things later on dealing with this this outstanding community, and ask for your support. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 103 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Shepherd, Representative Clampett, members wish to vote on the bill. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. Senate Bill 103 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina, next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 103 on third reading. For what purpose? The lady from Davie, Representative Howard Rice.
Mr. Speaker, I think I hit the wrong button.
Lady will be recorded as having voted aye. Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 103 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 103 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. And strike that. That's actually ordered and rolled and sent to the governor. House Joint Resolution 880. Clerk will read.
Representatives Blackwell, Hunter, Wheatley, and Bell. House Joint Resolution 880. A joint resolution to establish the North Carolina Senate's Inquinchial Legislative Commission. The House resolved, Senate concurred.
Lady from Cumberland, Representative Wheatley, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 2025 is the semi-quincentennial anniversary of the Revolutionary War. The purpose of Joint Resolution 880 is to establish a bipartisan commission to participate in making plans to commemorate that event. The commission will coordinate with historical preservation groups who will assist in planning commemorations of various historical events on different dates across the state. The commission will be made up of 8 members, 4 from the House and 4 from the Senate. Half of those will come from the majority party and half from the minority party. When my sons were young, we participated in a Revolutionary War reenactment group. They both loved it, and they remained history buffs to this day. So I can tell you from personal experience, this will be a wonderful educational opportunity for all our citizens, but especially for our children. I ask you to give your favorable vote to House Joint Resolution 880, and I stand for any questions.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Speak on resolution.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really want to say that as the descendant of a major in the Continental Army, Solomon Wetherington, I really appreciate this resolution and urge its support. Thank you.
Question for the House, the passage of House Joint Resolution 880 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Clampett, Representative Faircloth, Representative Morey, Representative Robertson. Representative Faircloth, the gentleman wish to vote? Just press either the red or green button. Everybody else press the green button. All right. Clerk Lot Machine report the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Joint Resolution 880 passed the second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
The House resolves, Senate concur.
Question for the House. Passed the House Joint Resolution 880 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Joint Resolution 880 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative Jones, rise.
Rise to speak to Senate Bill 103. I want to record my vote as an aye and not a nay. Thank you.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on Senate Bill 103 on the second reading. Thank you, sir. House Bill 806, the clerk will read.
Representative Moffitt. House Bill 806, a bill to be entitled an act to establish a study of water and sewer infrastructure needs in the state. General Assembly, North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 806. This is a study bill. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Destin Hall, aye. Representative Majeed wish to vote. Representative Robertson wish to vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 806 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 806 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 806 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 797. The clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, Destin Hall, and Willis, House Bill 797, a bill to be entitled to act to allow governing body of the county to delegate to payment requests for refunds of certain taxes paid. General Assembly, North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Willis, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a pretty straightforward bill. It gives the local Board of County Commissioners ability to assign a delegate that would allow them to expedite the process of refunding and overpayment of local taxes, and so we ask you to support the bill.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 797 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Destin Hall, aye. Representative Goodwin, aye. Representative Baker, Representative Graham, members wish to vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 797 passes its second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House, the passage of House Bill 797 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 797 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 794, the clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Sane, Brody, and Torbett, House Bill 794, a bill to be entitled an act to designate school and permit use of zoning districts and to specify that the charter schools are the schools that are for that purpose. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, recognized to debate the bill.
This bill is very simple and simply makes schools a zoning by right. This has been requested by North Carolina School Boards Association as well as charter schools. And what it does is, since there's a constitutional right to a sound basic education, we as a state also participate in supporting the building of these schools. Therefore, this simply allows schools to be built by right in zoning districts. Stand for any questions.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 794 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Johnson, wish to vote? Clerk lock machine, record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative. House Bill 794 passed the second reading and without objection will be read at third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 794 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Good try, but the ayes have it. And House Bill 794 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise?
My mistake.
House Bill 783, the clerk will read.
Representatives Von Hafen and Brody, House Bill 783, a bill to be entitled an act to create the state building code permit to ignition certification. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Late from wait, Representative Von Hafen, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, House Bill 783 would just create a new statewide certification for permit technicians, which would fall under the North Carolina Code Official Qualification Board, or the Q Board. If you're not familiar with this role, permit techs work in municipal inspection offices and are in charge of administering multiple aspects of the North Carolina State Building Code. Providing the standardized training, resources, and continuing education ensures that these permit techs are properly prepared and can perform their job more efficiently. This bill is strongly supported and endorsed by the North Carolina Building Inspectors Association and the North Carolina Permitting Personnel Association. And I want to thank Representative Brody, who worked with me on this bill and offered his advice and support. I ask for your support.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Union, Representative Brody, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Members, we're coming into a really complex time in building, and including not only residential but commercial. And I think I ask you to support this bill. This is a means by which we can streamline that permitting process, and I think it's a good bill. And I ask you to support it.
Question for the House. The passage of House Bill 783 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Johnson, aye. Johnson of Polk. Representative Richardson on the floor. Okay. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and none the negative. House Bill 783 passes second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina, aye.
House Bill 783 for its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 783, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 761, the clerk will read.
Representatives Blackwell, Faircloth, Bowles, and McNeil, House Bill 761, a bill to be entitled an act to increase the penalties for breaking and entering into certain law enforcement vehicles and the theft of certain law enforcement equipment. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Recognizing that police vehicle, law enforcement vehicles frequently include weapons and other equipment, which is particularly important to keep out of the hands of criminal elements, this bill simply increases the penalty where the defendant knows or should have known that he was breaking into a police or law enforcement type vehicle, and increases penalties relating to the theft of that type of equipment. I know of no opposition and ask for the House's support.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 761 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote.
Setzer, aye. Representative Majeed, Representative Autry, Representative Brown, Representative Cooper Suggs, the members wish to record on the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 100 having voted in the affirmative, 13 the negative. House Bill 761 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 761 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 761 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 739. The clerk will read.
Representatives Turner, Bradford, and Kyle Hall. House Bill 739, a bill to the Entitlement Act to modify the property tax appeal process. General Assembly of North Carolina annex.
Gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Turner, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill does a couple of things. Really what it does is it modifies the tax, the property tax appeal process to bring the county process in line with the state level process. It clarifies who has the authority to bring an appeal. And it also basically says if you have agreed to a valuation and you have agreed to it in writing, you cannot appeal until the next tax year. You still have the ability to appeal, but you just can't do it to the next year. I appreciate your positive vote.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 739 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Johnson, Lofton, Elmore, Faircloth, Hastings, Dixon. Oh, Lofton. Lofton, aye. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 108 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. House Bill 739 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina in that.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 739 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 739 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 629, the clerk will read.
Representatives Moffitt, Potts, Sasser, and Hancock. House Bill 629, a bill to the Entitlement Act to make clarification regarding the condition in which a physician assistant or nurse practitioner must consult with a supervising physician prior to prescribing a targeted controlled substance. General Assembly, North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Henderson, Representative Moffitt, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a technical and clarifying change to the STOP Act. All the stakeholders have been consulted. There is no opposition to the bill. I'd appreciate your support.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 629 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Adams, Representative Pittman, gentlemen wish to vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 629 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 629 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 629 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 615, the clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 615, a bill to the Entitlement Act to provide for an appropriate mental health assessment to be provided for juveniles who have been adjudicated delinquent. General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, GS-7B-2502 authorizes the court in a juvenile action to order that the juvenile be examined by a physician, psychiatrist, psychologist, or other qualified expert as may be needed for the court to determine the needs of the juvenile. If an examination is ordered, the court must conduct a hearing to determine whether the juvenile is in need of psychiatric, psychological, or other evaluation or treatment. If the court believes or there is evidence presented to the effect that the juvenile has a mental illness or a developmental disability, then the court must refer the juvenile to the Area Mental Health, Developmental Disabilities, and Substance Abuse Services Director, known as the Area Director, for appropriate action. The problem is the fact that these Area Directors no longer exist. What you have now are LME/MCOs, which are local management entities/managed care organizations, taking over what used to be the state mental health system. So you've actually have had cases where the appellate courts have reversed the trial court's decision, because while the trial court ordered what is the process we do today, it was contrary to the antiquated law. So this needs to be changed so that situation will not happen anymore. What this bill does is it defines severe emotional disturbance, and it also removes the existing provisions that I've just referred to that are antiquated related to juveniles suspected of having a mental illness, or developmental disability, and instead codifies new requirements for addressing such juveniles. Received a unanimous favor report in Judiciary 1, the same in the House Committee on Health, and the same in the Rules Committee, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 615 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Jones, Brendan Jones, aye. Brendan Jones, aye. Clerk will machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 615 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina Act.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 615 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House 615 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 608. Clerk will read.
Representative Kristen Baker, Clements, White, and Kyle Hall, House Bill 608, a bill to be entitled an act to promote the dignity of women who are incarcerated. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Cabarrus, Representative Baker is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, as many of you know, this bill provides certain accommodations for pregnant women who are incarcerated both at the local level in a county jail and then in also on the state level in a prison. Importantly, it provides these accommodations without compromising security in these facilities or in the hospital settings in which deliveries occur. It is also very intentional in supporting our law enforcement officers who work so hard to secure our safety, the safety of the prisoners, and the safety of all those in these various systems. So I want to make that very clear. I also want to thank more than 80 members of the House who have helped co-sponsor this bill, and particularly the principal sponsors with me on this, Representatives Ashton Clemens, Kyle Hall, and Donna White. And I want to thank the many organizations that worked with us on this consensus bill. And these include a number, including the Department of Public Safety, which of course oversees our state prisons, the North Carolina Family Policy Council, Conservatives for Criminal Justice Reform, ALEC, which is the American Legislative Exchange Council, the North Carolina OBGYN Society, the North Carolina Medical Society, the North Carolina Healthcare Association, and others. I also especially want to thank the North Carolina Sheriff's Association, and particularly Alamance County Sheriff Terry Johnson, who worked to deliver this bill and very carefully looked at all the wording and verbiage in this to make sure that we were both protecting the health and safety of women and children, and also maintaining security at every juncture. It's also important just to take a minute to thank the many law enforcement officers who work in our prisons and jails. And they have an enormously difficult and important job. And so people have asked me, you know, why are you doing this? And I became involved in this legislation when I was approached by an OBGYN doctor from our state who had an encounter that had caused her such grief and distress that she has been working on this since it occurred 2 years ago. And she has personally contacted every sheriff in the state of North Carolina in her concerns about this. She was the physician who delivered a baby from a woman who came to the hospital shackled and had to deliver her baby. And once the baby was delivered, due to the shackling, was unable to hold the baby. Very sadly, that baby had passed away. And so this physician is certainly not placing blame, but she's saying, look, you know, there's a way we can prevent this. This doesn't have to happen again. And that's really why we've all, from all these different stakeholders, worked so carefully on this legislation. And so at this point, I just want to outline a few of the highlights of this bill. I think a lot of you have heard about it in committees, but basically some of the key points is that it creates standards for the use of restraints on women during their second and third trimesters of pregnancy, labor, and delivery, and for the six-week postpartum recovery period. It ensures proper food and nutrition for the mother and the baby, allows the baby to remain with the mother until she's discharged from the hospital, and provides reasonable accommodations for a safe environment in prison and in jail, especially for victims of sexual assault and abuse. So again, I just want to thank all the members who have supported this, all the various stakeholders, again, especially the Department of Public Safety and our Sheriff's Association, and I recommend this bill to you and ask you for your favorable support. Thank you. Happy to stand for any questions.
Gentleman from Moore, Richard Bowles, recognize the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to debate the bill. Thank you. Folks, I will support this bill, and I do, but also want to clarify some things as far as state employees and the State Department of Corrections, that it is not a policy of the state of North Carolina to shackle women in pregnancy in our state prisons. What we're talking about, Representative Baker, was an unfortunate incident or prejudicated when they're in the county jail. I take great pride in our correctional officers that we have in the state of North Carolina, and I just want to make the record clear, this is not the state of North Carolina's policy. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 608 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Clerk White Machine, record the vote. 113, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 608 has passed its second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina and Act.
Question for the House. Is the passage of House Bill 608 on third reading? Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 608, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 489, the clerk will read.
Representatives Brody, Rydell, Nesting Hall, and Hunter, House Bill 489, a bill to be entitled an act to provide various building code and development regulatory reforms. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is probably number seven in a series of six. Every year we try to address some issues that we deal with in the construction industry, and this is no different. It's gone through a couple committees unanimous, and I'm here to stand for questions if anybody has any. Thank you.
For what purpose, lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison Rice.
Debate the bill.
Lady has four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'm grateful to Representative Brody for his willingness to work with those who had some problems with the bill, and I know he worked closely with DEQ and the League and others, but there are still problems with this bill, and I just wanted to briefly highlight them. Water sedimentation is probably our biggest water quality problem in our state, and our Sedimentation Pollution Control Act is a really important part of protecting our water quality in our state, and the census this sort of undermines that legislation. Particularly problematic, back in the 90s, apparently DEQ handled, or Diener at the time, handled these permits for sedimentation and erosion control, and at the request of some groups, it was delegated to the local authorities. And so these local authorities set up these programs, and yes, there are disparate fees that are charged, but they're proportional to the work that's needed. By capping the amount of money that a local government's going to be able to charge to deal with these permits, that they're having to do at the local level with no subsidy with general fund appropriations, there is some sense that it's going to undermine the quality of these locally delegated programs, and they might actually get kicked back up to DEQ, which doesn't have the staff or the funding, because their fees are now at $65, which I think has been the fee since 2007. So you've got the problem with the capping of the fees, and that's a big problem for a lot of cities in our state. There's also some concern about the fact that the self-inspection is being being eliminated, the requirement for self-inspection, which has been really important for sedimentation and erosion control. There's potential for runoff from these sites, and I just appreciate Representative Brody's working to try and address the concerns of those who are worried about what this means to water quality in a state, but I definitely think this is going to impact it, so I would encourage you to vote no. Thank you.
What purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise.
Speak on it a second time, please.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, members, and thank you, Representative Pricey Harrison, for that. We've had a lot of discussions on it. I just want to get a little clarification on the what you notice is that we're claiming there's problematic with the land disturbing, but in reality, it's not the land disturbing because we haven't touched that one bit. It's the how much of fees this municipals charge for doing that. So, interestingly enough, the DEQ publishes this list, and so I did some analysis on it because I didn't come up with the figure out of my, you know, out of a hat. We went to $100. Currently, the average is $81, so even on the average, everybody gets a raise. But more importantly, the mean is at $30, meaning that everybody is bunched from zero to $30 or $50, and there's a couple outliers that are way high. So that's why we chose to address that. And on the issue of the other issue brought up was we have worked real hard with DEQ to pass these things. Everything has gone through the proper channels. The self-inspection is the inspection on a subdivision, which is required by DEQ, but the individual lots within that subdivision shouldn't have to go through the same regulation, because after all, if it rains in the subdivision, it rains on all lots anyways. So I ask you for your support.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 489 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 82 having voted in the affirmative, 31 the negative. House Bill 489 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Senator of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 489 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 489 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 476, clerk will read.
Representatives Moss, Sasser, Smith, and Penny, House Bill 476, a bill to be entitled an act to establish Stanley County resident requirement for two district court seats in Judiciary District 20A. General Senator North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Richmond, Representative Moss, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pretty simple bill. This basically deals with county residency, considering the Judicial District 20A. I know of no opposition to this bill, and I would appreciate your support.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 476 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Yes. Representative Davis, Representative Carson Smith, members wish to vote. Clerk, lock machine, record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative. House Bill 476 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Senator North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 476 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 476, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 291, the clerk will read.
Representatives Zinger, Potts, and Johnson, House Bill 291. A bill to be entitled Commercial Pops Plans River DOI Oversight. General Senator North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Forsyth, Representative Zinger rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Worked really hard to get everybody involved in this. This is to streamline the commercial permitting process. We had the League of Municipalities, the Department of Insurance, North Carolina General Contractors Association, and the Architects Association all involved. We worked the bill, and I'm happy to say that the Department of Insurance is fully in support of this bill, so I know of no opposition. Appreciate your support.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Orange, Representative Meyer rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to debate the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure there's no opposition to this bill. Representative Zenger and I did have some conversations about this, and he did work to make it a better bill than where it started. The League of Municipalities still have expressed concerns about this because to set up an alternative permitting process, it does take money from municipalities to pay the state to run that through DOI. And to me, that's bad policy because if we want to run a state function, we need to fund the state function out of our budget. Municipalities didn't ask for this alternative process. Now they're being asked not only to have it happen, but to pay for it too. I think we should have some concerns about that. Thank you.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 291 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Bell on the floor. Representative Bell. Clerk Watt Machine record the vote. 79 having voted in the affirmative, 33 in the negative. House Bill 291 passes at second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly Malkine, amen.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 291 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 291 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentleman from Guilford? Representative Brotman writes.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to change my vote to no on House Bill 498.
489.
Yes, sir.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted no on 489. Representative Terry, is that the same request? Lady will be recorded as a no. Representative Insko, is that the same request for the lady?
I'd like to be recorded as no on 794.
Lady will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 794. House Bill 383, the clerk will read.
Representatives Lambeth, White, and Sasser, House Bill 383, a bill to entitle an act to revise the hospital assessment their account for Medicaid transformation. General Assembly, all kind of acts.
Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a agency bill that is required for us to move to the prepaid health plans July 1. It is a very technical bill, but we've been doing assessments since 2011 here in the state of North Carolina, and that's all this does is it continues the current program under a prepaid health environment. It's gone through three committees and passed unanimously.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 383 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves, Quick, Robertson, clerk clock machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 383 passed the second reading and remains on the calendar. House Bill 704, the clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Moffitt, Warren, and Setzer, House Bill 704, bill to maintain an act to give counties additional flexibility with regard to the local option sales and use tax without increasing the existing maximum tax rate. General Assembly, no kind of acts.
Lady from Davie, Representative Howard is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill simply gives your counties more flexibility with regard to the local sales tax that they can levy without increasing the maximum rate that is currently authorized. And it does it in two different ways. First of all, it allows the counties to assess the quarter cents tax that is currently restricted to public transportation use and use it for another purpose. None of the 94 counties that are authorized to levy the quarter cents for public transportations do so now, and many would like to be able to levy the tax for another use. And secondly, the other way, it gives counties the option to specify in the ballot question the particular use for which they intend to use the proceeds of the sales tax. Particularly, a county may choose to list one or more of the 50-plus uses that are currently authorized for the use of the property tax. And this bill is one of the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners' top five legislative goals, and I would ask for your support.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 704 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Clerk will wipe machine, record the vote. 107, having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. Sorry, I got 4 in the negative. House Bill 704 passed the second reading and remains on the calendar. House Bill 572, the clerk will read.
Representatives Kidwell, Hannig, and Moss, House Bill 572, a bill to be entitled An Act to Prohibit or Create a Vaccine Mandate for Use of Executive Order or the Rulemaking Process. Jones, Senator of North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a pretty straightforward bill. It just states that the governor and the agencies would not be able to require, really any vaccine, through an executive order. Okay, I don't stand for any questions on the bill.
Gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, the gentleman has an amendment. The chair has ruled that it is not germane to the bill, but the gentleman is recognized to debate the bill, and the chair will give the gentleman a little bit of leeway to debate the bill if he'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
And the amendment will be returned to the gentleman. The gentleman has floor, though, to debate the bill.
All right. The amendment that I was going to offer is because even though we're trying to say by this that you cannot mandate this vaccine at this time, some businesses, even though they know it can't be mandated, might want themselves to say, you can't come in my business without it. That is a violation of people's freedom and right to choose on this matter, and it is a violation of privacy rights. So I was trying to add this amendment to say not that they can't decide to keep people out, but to encourage businesses to say, we're going to let you in anyway, we're not going to violate your rights. And if businesses choose to behave in that way, just reassuring them that they could not be sued, because I can imagine somebody's going to come in and say, hey, I got this in your business because you let somebody come in without the shot. So I just want to assure those businesses they would not be sued under those circumstances. So the amendment's not going to run. This bill doesn't do as much as I had hoped to do in House Bill 558, but it does get us moving sort of in that direction, so I support the bill and hope you do too. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise.
Ask Representative Kidwell a question.
Representative Kidwell, gentlemen yield?
Absolutely.
He yields.
Representative, I did a quick look and tried to see, and I'm not sure about this, but what about during the course of an emergency, if the governor declares an emergency, does this suspend vaccinations for schools, you know, children in schools that have mandatory vaccinations to go to public school?
So thank you for that question, Representative. No, this does not address the vaccines that are required for children to go to school at all.
Follow up.
Chairman yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Where does it specifically exclude that?
Sir, this states that it would be, number one, from this point forward, and it's only through an executive order. And I don't believe it's the normal course of events for schools to give out vaccines under executive order.
Follow up.
Chairman, yield?
I yield.
He yields?
Yeah, I understand that, but what about the routine vaccinations that are in place, and the governor declares an emergency? Does this suspend those routine vaccinations?
Again, Representative, I don't believe your question applies to this bill, because this bill does not speak to traditional vaccines that have been passed through the normal process of events. This strictly speaks to the governor issuing an executive order, or an agency of the governor is issuing an executive order that states that you have to take a vaccine. The vaccines you're referencing have been used for years, and they've been processed through the proper channels. Executive order is just an overreach.
One last follow-up.
Chairman yield.
I yield.
Let me try it a different way. Is there anywhere in this legislation that those vaccines are exempted?
They're not specifically addressed, Representative, because it would not be germane to this bill.
Thank
you. Representative Kidwell, does the gentleman wish to debate the bill a second time?
Mr. Speaker, I wish to ask Representative Pittman a question, if I may.
Representative Pittman, gentleman yield? Yes, sir. He yields.
Representative, I was wondering if you'd be willing to work on your amendment to this bill as a separate standalone bill?
Well, I would, but I don't think we're going to have time to do that.
There's a way to work around that, Representative Pittman?
If the Speaker and the health chairs are willing to work with me, I'll be glad to do that. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 572 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative McNeely, Representative Kidwell, Representative Dahl. Members wish to vote on the bill. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 74 having voted in the affirmative and 39 the negative. House Bill 572 passes second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 572 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Member would ask please not to disrupt the House's business. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 572 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Ayes have it. House Bill 572, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 218, the clerk will read.
Representative Zinger, House Bill 218. A bill to be entitled Streamline Permits Redevelopment of Property. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Zinger, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a great bill. What we did years ago is we built a bunch of lakes, and then we built a bunch of stuff on the lakes. And then we came along later and said maybe we should protect the watershed. So we did that. And then we came along later and said let's do stormwater. And what we did is we boxed people in. We basically said, we're content with the dirty water you're producing, but you can't do any more. What this does is it allows them to go ahead and clean all the water and expand their businesses. The Department of Environmental Quality is totally on board with it. We worked really hard together on it to make this happen. The second piece of it is for abandoned buildings that have been built in the last 15 years, their site plan is exempt from, if there's going to be repurposing, someone else comes in with the same use, they're exempt from any changes to the site plan. And so it's a great way to try to get some of our abandoned buildings to be utilized by our municipalities. I'll stand for any questions. It's a great bill. I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none, the question before the House is passage of House Bill 218 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. ARP aye. INSCO no. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 92 having voted in the favor of the bill. 21 in the negative. House Bill 218 passes the second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina next.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 218 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And House Bill 218 passes its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Baker, rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To change my vote for House Bill 572 from no to yes.
Lady will be so recorded. House Bill 805, the clerk will read.
Representatives Moore, McNeil, Miller, and Sauls, House Bill 805. A bill to be entitled Prevent Rioting and Civil Disorder, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Cleveland, Speaker Moore, is recognized.
Actually, Madam Speaker, if Representative Lofton has an amendment that I and the other bill sponsors agree with, if the chair would like to let him run that amendment first, I'd be glad to do that and then come back to if the chair would permit.
Representative Lofton, are you prepared to send forth your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
The clerk will read.
Representative Lofton moves to amend the bill on page 2, line 6, by rewriting that line to read.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Members, this amendment is just a simple amendment but has very important consequences. It makes it clear that simply exercising your right of free speech and freedom of assembly will not subject you to prosecution under this act. I've shared this when we debated this in judiciary. I'm a father of two young boys, and following the shooting of George Floyd, when we had our conversation with them, to explain that to them, to watch the fear and helplessness in their eyes, it meant a lot to us to be able to take them out publicly where they could be in their community and see people from all different races, ethnicities coming together to publicly stand up and say that this isn't right. And we should not have the chilling effect of discouraging people from going out and protesting and exercising their free speech. So that's the spirit of this amendment, and it's just to clarify so that no one gets confused and thinks that they're subject to prosecution simply for exercising their constitutional rights. And I urge your support. Thank you.
For our purpose, gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, rise.
Speak to the amendment.
You have the floor to speak on the amendment.
Thank you. Spoke with Representative Lofton on this amendment. Think it's a good amendment. Glad to support it. There's actually case law that says this is already, that you would not be charged under these offenses if you're simply there. But certainly no objection and no harm in making that further clarified in this case. It does not harm the bill in any manner. It makes it very clear what this bill is designed to deal with, which is those who are going into a protest, perhaps, but then turning it into something else beyond that. And those who are simply there at a protest exercising their First Amendment rights should not in any way get caught up in that. So no objection to the amendment. Would encourage the body to support it.
Question for the further discussion, further debate on the amendment. Seeing none, the question before the House is the passage of the amendment to House Bill 805 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 113 having voted in favor, none in the negative. The amendment passes, and we are back on the bill. The gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, or Speaker Moore, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Members, this bill, House Bill 805, is something that we talked about a little bit last year, and given circumstances that happened both while we were in short session last year, and then, of course, other occurrences, really has brought this to the forefront of where we are. Many of us watched last summer and last spring as many of our cities were destroyed, where folks would go out and engage in arson, property destruction, assault, a lot of crimes, and just absolutely unbelievable, not something that many of us have never seen in our lifetimes. We then also saw a display in January of this year where our U.S. Capitol was taken over, the floor of the Senate and the floor of the House, a reprehensible act, something that should never happen and something that should be punished severely. Well, we can't govern what happens in Washington, but we can govern what in fact happens in our state. And in North Carolina, we saw many instances of individuals going in committing massive property damage, destroying businesses who were already suffering from closure and reduced business because of COVID-19 to come in and find their businesses and their property absolutely destroyed. Individuals assaulted. In fact, some of the folks who got assaulted were some of the people who were in fact there for those peaceful protests that turned into this. The point is this. We must allow for the free exchange of ideas. We must always stand for the right under the First Amendment for folks to air their grievances, for folks to protest. Sometimes that's yelling, sometimes that's talking calmly.
But the First Amendment protects a lot of things. What the First Amendment does not protect, though, is for an individual to go out and destroy someone else's property, to go out and assault someone, to go out and create a criminal activity under the guise of a protest. What this law does is it significantly increases the penalties for those who do these things. Folks who go out and incite riots that end up resulting in resulting in personal injury or death are going to go to prison for a long time. Those who engage in riots that result in property damage are exposed to prison time. Those who go, who of course incite this and can be proven, these businesses that are that have suffered damages as a result can recover treble damages against these individuals. This is necessary to strike that balance between the right of assembly, the right to protect the First Amendment, and the right to protect law and order, basic law and order. It's always a balance when one balances or has to balance the rights, everyone's individual rights and everyone's collective rights. This bill seeks to strike that balance. I believe the amendment that was added should have addressed any concerns that were brought up in the committees that heard this bill before to make it clear this is designed to deal with those who wish to riot, who wish to create property damage. We cannot have another situation where folks get charged with going out and committing these crimes only to be processed through and released within just a few hours. Very few buildings in downtown Raleigh, for example, were spared damage on the nights that this happened. One thing that I found very ironic, and I see Representative Jones right there, the courthouse in Wake County, which is the place where a person can go in this county to seek justice, was in fact a primary target of that, the destruction of that. The folks who committed the looting, the damage, the ones who did the damage, they weren't picking and choosing. They were destroying everything at will. They destroyed businesses owned by a number of folks. I actually was here that weekend that this happened. Walked downtown and saw the business owners who had lost their businesses, many of whom have closed and have never reopened. I remember there was a gentleman over in the Moore Square area who had opened up a high-end sneaker shop. I didn't know what all they were, but my oldest son knew what all those sneakers were. Had these sneakers in there, had talked about how he had built this business. Everything was stolen. Wiped out. Everything destroyed there. The CVS just down the street, which actually is the pharmaceutical location, many of the folks in Wake County that need to get to the access to their prescription drugs, was burned. The little DGX was destroyed. I mean, it was just random. That wasn't expressing an opinion on something. That was just destruction of someone else's property. I saw firsthand guys going around with skateboards smashing the windows out. People driving up and down the road at a high rate of speed, a shooting, saw objects on fire in the middle of the street. It looked more like Benghazi than Raleigh. It was absolutely terrible. But you know, Raleigh wasn't the only place. Had a smaller scale in Charlotte, had it in some smaller communities, and of course we saw even widespread in some of the other states around our nation. Point is simply this. The passage of this bill will make clear that North Carolina is not the place that is going to tolerate personal property destruction and assaults and rioting and looting. I think this bill strikes the proper balance, and I would urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the representative from Guilford, Representative Brockman, arise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Moore, do you yield for a question?
Glad to.
He yields. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got a question. Sometimes in these incidents, it's hard to distinguish the rioter, somebody who's trying to commit bad acts, and somebody who is trying to protect their neighborhood. If you see someone fighting a rioter, does this bill protect them if it's hard to distinguish which one is the good and which one is the bad guy in those types of incidents?
That's a good question, and I appreciate it. What I can tell you is this bill and the way the language is written is going to punish that person who is going out and destroying property, committing assault without a basis. If you are defending your property, if you are at your home and you are trying to repel folks, you are protected on that. The best example that I have, Representative Brockman, is actually Representative Miller, who's seated in front of me, who is the chief deputy in Brunswick County, but went to New Hanover County
during some of the riots that happened there. And he may want to speak to this. I think you ought to speak to it. But where he talked about that, you know, the fact that, you know, bricks whizzing by his head. And it is pretty clear for law enforcement, I would say, in that to tell who's committing a crime and who's not. But again, the way it's written, it clarifies that. If the person's going around destroying property, of course, they have to be seen doing it. Now, I'm going to say this. There's no way, even with this bill, that you're going to catch everybody. If you've got 1,000 people or 2,000 people in downtown Raleigh destroying property, you're not going to catch everybody that did it. But they're going to, you catch the ones you can with video. It's, I would say, similar to what you saw on Capitol Hill when you saw folks come and rush in. They were able to use video evidence later on and identify some of those folks who did this. There's never going to be anything perfect, but I would say just under normal law, there's going to be a distinction between the person who is defending their property and between someone who is out engaging in violent unrest.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does Representative from Durham, Representative Moy, rise?
Thank you. To ask the Speaker a question.
Representative Moore, do you, Speaker Moore, do you
recognize? I yield.
Your question. He yields.
Thank you. And Speaker Moore, there are a couple things in the bill that I have a bit of a concern about. One is on page one that appears to be any person willfully engages in a riot is guilty of a Class H felony if the person possesses any dangerous weapon or substance. And my question is, if someone is engaging in marching down the street and they have a pocket knife or they have pepper spray and it stays in their pocket, could they be liable for a Class H felony?
I was asking my law enforcement officer here right now on the dangerous. I don't believe, but of course you were a judge too, so you dealt with these cases in court. My understanding is that something like a pocket knife would not rise to the level of a dangerous weapon, but I don't believe that's actually new language. That is existing language in the current statute. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the new language is makes it a felony if the person possesses. So that is, and I know you spoke, you and I had a conversation, a sidebar, if you will, about the brandishing of the weapon or not. I guess the fact if the person has, and I've thought through that. But what if the person had a concealed weapon, say they were a felon and they had a concealed weapon? You know, that's just misdemeanor, class one misdemeanor, carrying a concealed weapon, except in certain cases. But in this case, it would be a felony if they had it. The fact that they had that weapon and they were out doing this, I would say, should subject it to the heightened penalty in that case, because it's clearly a lot more dangerous.
Okay. Thank you. Speak on the bill.
You have the floor to speak on the bill.
There's nothing like debating the speaker, but I understand the purpose of this bill. I mean, we are all opposed to rioting, looting, seeing what we have seen on January 6th in Raleigh, wherever. The balance of people's rights is what I am concerned about. The people that are out there exercising their First Amendment rights to assemble and free speech, and we need to make sure their rights are protected and they are not swept up into those who form criminal intent. So the way the bill is written, I think the example I just asked, if I join a march down Wilmington Street and I have pepper spray in my pocket because that's just protection for march or walking downtown, would I be guilty of having a dangerous weapon or substance under this bill? If I am marching downtown and three blocks ahead of me, someone takes a baton and smashes out a window and enters a store because I am also marching, am I going to be liable to be charged with a felony rioting? What is an overt act? And I think the amendment greatly improves the bill, but is chanting an overt act? We don't know. The other issues I have with the bill, someone who is brought in, maybe late at night, usually late at night, does not have the right to go before a magistrate. Even someone that's brought in with assault with a deadly weapon intent to kill, inflicting serious injuries, has a right to get a bond set by a magistrate, but not someone who's brought in under this bill with rioting. The last provision that I have concerns about is treble damages. That if your window is broken, you're entitled to sue anyone participating in this riot for treble damages, attorney's fees and court costs. I just think it goes a little far. It blurs the lines between those who indeed are rioting or looting and those who are out exercising their First Amendment rights. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
I rise to speak to the bill.
You have the floor to speak to the bill.
Thank you. Before I start, I just want to make it crystal clear. I'm not speaking for anyone except me. I'm a resident of Raleigh. And the morning after they tore the hell out of downtown, I drove down there. It broke my heart. Because people try to hijack what was largely peaceful demonstrations, not just here, but all across the country, against black men being shot unarmed by police, which I consider to be a very, very important issue. And I resent hoodlums and thugs destroying people's private property in the name of a good cause. And when I was watching it on TV, I thought to myself, I turned to the person I was watching and said, how come the newsmen can record these guys, but the cops can't stop them? And in Raleigh, I can speak to what happened in Raleigh. The police were told to stand down. They were there, but they stood down the other end of the mall, and these people tore the hell out of downtown. That's what happened. And I don't know who will criticize me for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. May not be up here more than 2 years, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I despise violence and people who tear up people's property that they didn't earn, and people with a private pizza shop or a shop with a pane glass window. And these guys think they have the, under the name of something good, go down there and do violence and do crime. So I compliment you, Speaker Moore. This bill is needed to send a message from this House that that will not be tolerated in North Carolina. I don't tolerate it. And I think many, many people of liberal, progressive persuasion who are Democrats don't tolerate it either. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for some of us to say it, for God's sake. I'm saying it today. I despise that kind of conduct. And if the bill, if the punishment is a little bit harsh, so be it. So be it. Because when you, and let me speak to that one line that, Judge Morey brought up. It reads, willfully engaging in a riot if it results in either property damage of $1,500 or more, or serious bodily harm, or if the participant has a dangerous weapon or substance in the participant's possession. What's the prefatory statement? Willfully engaging in a riot. You're out there rioting, not peacefully protesting. You busting up glass. You got stuff breaking in. That's what qualifies you to be punished under the statute. And you should be. And I'm sick and tired of these people hijacking my causes. We don't deserve it. And I'm joining with you in voting for this. I don't care who you are. Whoever you is that votes for this, I'm voting with you. I didn't check my position with anybody. And I apologize to anyone who may be offended by anything I've said. But I've spoken the truth as I know it. And as long as I'm in this body, I will always speak the truth as I know it. That's the truth. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Miller, rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. That's a hard act to follow right there. But, you know, I was on the streets of Wilmington during their protest and riots days later, or I should say riot. But, you know, I was very proud of the leaders of Wilmington and New Hanover County. They didn't allow their towns to be tore up. They didn't tell their officers to stand down. And the majority of the folks that were in Wilmington were peaceful. We protected them. We protected them and encouraged their right to protest with a peaceful protest. And they did that for days. But after a few days, what happened was the agitators arrived. They arrived. They had backpacks with rocks. They had staged bricks along street corners that we found later that night. And as they began to march, rocks began to fly. I dodged two bricks myself personally that missed my head by about 2 inches. They threw frozen water bottles. They actually threw a fireworks mortar that when it exploded behind me, I thought that I was blown apart. I mean, it shook my insides. Now, folks, it's hard to describe. But, you know, we didn't arrest but about seven people that night. And the reason we didn't is because we protected the peaceful protesters, and we picked the ones out of the crowd that was raising the hell, as you said. And the leaders of Wilmington did not allow their storefronts to be tore up. The sheriff of New Hanover County and the sheriff of Brunswick took a strong stance. And we picked the ones out of the crowd that was causing the problems. And we protected the ones that wanted to peaceful protest. So that's why I support this bill, and I would ask for everyone in this House to support this bill. As Representative Jones said, let's send North Carolina a message that we're not going to tolerate this. So thank you.
What purpose, gentlemen, for Randolph? Representative McNeil, rise.
Thank you. As one of the bill sponsors, I wanted to just add just a few brief comments.
You have the floor.
Thank you. Actually, Representative Jones, thank you. You stole a lot of my comments, but that's okay, and Representative Miller. But I was in law enforcement for 32 years, and fortunately, I was in a small town in a rural county, so we didn't have a lot of rioting, but I've been on the scene in peaceful protest, and I've been on the scene when there were mobs there. And believe me, I know the difference. I know what a peaceful protester is, and I know what somebody is there for when they're there to break windows and set things on fire. I know the difference, and I think everybody in this room knows the difference. You don't have to be real brilliant to determine them. And I've been through riot training. It was several years ago. But we were never trained to just go out and arrest everybody. We were trained to find out who the instigators were in the crowd and try and take them out, because that's the ones that keep things stirred up. That's the one that stirs the crowd up and gets them ginned up and gets them ready to do these things. And, you know, you can take this bill and you can pick it apart and look about what the different definition of a dangerous weapon is. That's crazy. The bill states at least 7 times willfully engage in a riot or willfully incite a riot. That's what the key words of this bill is. You know, if you're there peacefully protesting and you've got a pocket knife, if it's in your pocket and you're not doing anything with it, if you're not trying to assault somebody, if you're not trying to cut somebody's tires, I don't think anybody's going to bother you. But if you're willfully engaging in a riot and you've got a dangerous weapon, I think the courts are smart enough to figure out what a dangerous weapon is. This is a good bill. It is a common sense bill. I do not want North Carolina to turn into Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington. And if we have the proper incentives, we have the proper laws on the book, I think we can keep North Carolina from going down that road. Please vote green on this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak on the bill.
You have the floor to speak on the bill.
Thank you, ma'am. One of the things I appreciate in this bill is that it just doesn't stick to the actual violent acts that occur. It does address people who willfully incite and urge others to riot. And I think that's very good, because, you know, we've had a lot of that where people incite stuff and then they kind of back off and let everybody else do the violence when they're the instigators. I hope that applies also to public officials, because we've seen public officials across the country who have actually encouraged rioting, and that doesn't need to be happening in this state either. And I appreciate Representative Jones's comments about police and law enforcement being told to stand down. That is a real problem. My House Bill 321 tried to address that, but I do appreciate, though, that at least we do have something here that can address people inciting. And As I say, I hope that will be applied to public officials as well. And I do appreciate the Speaker bringing forth this bill.
What purpose the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I hesitated about speaking on this bill, but I just felt compelled to do so. I think we have to keep in mind the proper context as to why emotions get raw. I don't think that there are any public officials who incite riots. I hope I'm wrong. I think that I have a better opinion of our public officials, our mayors, our chiefs of police, etc. I think their whole intention was to accommodate those who have been perceived to have been aggrieved by circumstance. And you all know what I have reference to. Most of these last summer started because of a situation over in Minnesota. And we can dance around it if we wish. Or we can address it. I choose to address it. Being a product, I think there may be just a few folk who are still products of the old civil rights sit-in movement. I'm one of those. And I have an affinity for the rationale for the cause. But no, there's never a reason to be violent. And those who are being violent really are destroying the cause. I detest them very bitterly. But I also want you to have really understanding as to why folk have the need for protest. There's a reason for it. And many times we ignore that, and that's what causes the problem. So let's be cognizant of the circumstances that cause, or maybe you don't perceive that there was a cause, but there has been. And let's respect those who have that impetus for the cause. I initially stated very vehemently that I probably would oppose the bill. I don't now, because I've changed my mind. And we all ought to feel that way. Whenever we're convinced that there's a better way, let's address it. And if we all here collectively really speak out as individuals against the immorality or the systemic causes that precipitate the rise of what happened last summer, I think we won't have the need for this. I really don't. So let's all be our brothers and sisters keepers, and let's do what's moral and what's just. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise.
Mr. Speaker, to ask you a question as the bill sponsor.
I'll try to take it, and then if I need to step down, I will, but I'll go ahead and try to take it. Go ahead.
Does this bill take into consideration that those who are peacefully protesting are sometimes assaulted by those on the sidelines, creating the riotous environment?
It does, in fact, and that's one of the things, Representative, you may want to direct the question to Representative Miller if you'd like, but that's one of the things that, in fact, Representative Miller spoke to when we spoke in committee on the bill, that they spent a lot of their time protecting those who were just there to protest and all of a sudden caught themselves in the middle of it. And so it's, we want to make sure we protect everyone there, and deal with those who are creating the problems. And I do think that Representative Lofton's amendment probably helps fine tune that, but I want to be careful debating from the chair. Sure. At this point, but if you,
And I will, Representative Miller, would you?
Yes, sir. We spent a lot of time getting intel, watching the crowd covertly, and singling out the ones that were agitating the peaceful protesters or causing them a problem. So, yes, sir, we would definitely extract somebody as a law enforcement officer from that crowd that was causing the problems and protecting the peaceful protesters.
Thank you.
And I might want to add also that These protests went on for several weeks. We only had, I think, 3 nights in Wilmington that was a problem. So it went on for a long time after that with no issues at all. Good cooperation with law enforcement. So there was no issues after that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
May I speak to the bill?
Mr. Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I detest riots, rioting, destruction of property, and all the things that reasonable people are supposed to detest. But I want to remind this body that there was this thing called the Boston Tea Party. And the response to the Boston Tea Party was the British government hammering down on those who had protested. And there are 4 things that the British government did. Number one, it ended the Massachusetts Constitution. Number two, it ended free elections for town officials. Number three, it moved judicial authority to Britain and British judges. And number four, it required the colonists to pay for the tea and to quarter British troops on demand. The reason I bring that up is that, as Representative Lucas said, we can impose all the laws we want to after. In fact, in one committee, I brought up the point that the bill was titled Prevent Riots. That's not going to prevent riots. Harsher penalties are not going to prevent riots. What's going to prevent riots is to get to the root causes of the reasons why people are protesting and why unlawful people come out and join in and disrupt the peaceful protest of people. So I submit to you, we've tried this. It's been tried before. We can toughen penalties and make tougher laws. It's been tried before. Britain tried it. But the American spirit, the yearning for freedom, endured. And the peaceful protesters that are on our streets, who are yearning for freedom from any type of oppression, that spirit will endure. Whether we pass laws here like this or not, that spirit will endure. And I agree. I do not like riots. I detest riots. There are already laws on the books for rioters. But if we think that passing bills like this is going to quench the people, and I know it's not their intention to quench people peacefully protesting, but some people will co-opt these peaceful protests for their own cause, and even to disrupt the cause for which the people are protesting. So I'm not advising anyone on how to vote on this. But just keep in mind, this is not the first time this type of thing has tried to happen in this country. And the spirit of the people to get free from oppression will always endure.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 805 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. ARP, aye. Representative Reeves on the floor. Reeves, no. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 88, having voted in the affirmative, 25, the negative. House Bill 805 passes second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 805 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 805, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 151, the clerk will read.
Representative Pittman, Carson Smith, Hannick, and Kidwell, House Bill 151, a bill to the Entitlement Act to require active time for conviction of felony death and vehicle of felony death by impaired voting. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
General from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, recognize the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Twice before the House has passed the original version of this bill, and the Senate wouldn't take it up, and then I was encouraged to speak to the Sentencing Commission, and what I learned from Sentencing Commission was that the problem with the original bill was that it had a section in it about intermediate punishment. And they told me that they had no objection to the bill, that, you know, they don't support it or, you know, oppose it, but they had no objection to the bill except for that part, that it did not follow the structured sentencing guidelines. And so they advised me that I needed to take the intermediate punishment out of the bill, and it would then align with the structured sentencing guidelines. That's what this does. It puts some teeth into Cheyenne's law that we passed in 2016 unanimously. The structured sentencing guidelines would put that into a Class D felony, having caused a death by impaired driving or boating. Now, some are going to try to tell you that we haven't had that many instances that would violate Cheyenne's law, and so we don't need this bill. But I've been told that it's not that we haven't had that many violations. What has happened is that they're scared enough of Cheyenne's law that they plead to a lesser charge. There have been a number of incidents. There just haven't been that many convictions under it because they do that. Anyway, the way this bill is written now, it brings it into line with the structured sentencing. And I would say that in spite of some of the objections that have been raised to it, a human life, you know, if it is only one or two, I mean, how many does it take? This is intended to save a human life, human lives. And if it saves only one, I think that's worth a lot more than being able to party and get drunk on your boat or in your car. And so the Sheriff's Association supports this bill. Every law enforcement officer I've talked to supports this bill. Colonel Evans of Wildlife has told me he wants this bill passed. It is to make it tougher on people who are so irresponsible as to go out driving a car or piloting a boat while impaired and kill or injure someone. So I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from person, Representative Yarbrough, rise?
To debate the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
I have a problem with this bill for several reasons. I do a lot of boating. Thoroughly enjoy it, and I can understand why people that don't go on boats that much would compare driving a boat to driving a car. But there are significant differences, the biggest one being that when you're driving your car, you have to use it to go from place to place, and normally you're doing it at 50 or 60 miles an hour. Boating is a choice. Most of the time you're on the boat for the experience of being on the boat. And that is a big difference. Also, for those of you that are new here, we did pass Cheyenne's law 6 years ago, in which we stiffened the penalty significantly for felony death by motor vehicle or by boat. And I was looking, and since then, I can't find any cases. As a matter of fact, Cheyenne's law has only been used once in a boating incident, and that one has not been adjudicated yet, but I can guarantee you that he's going to see some prison time because he has a terrible record and he did a terrible thing. Unfortunately, this happens much too often in motor vehicles, but we don't have a problem with judges letting them off easy. I can't find a single case of a judge not giving active prison time to someone that committed felony death by motor vehicle in a car. I also have a problem with a practice that I've observed in my years here, in which a representative, a legislator, gets mad about a specific case and wants to change the sentence for every case under that law. I think that these sentences should be set by experts that know what they're doing and that have looked at all of the cases that have occurred under that law. So for those reasons, I am opposed to this bill and appreciate your support.
What purpose, gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell Rice?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
So kind of a response, I guess, to Representative Yarbrough. Representative, I live down in Beaufort County. And we have a business that's on one side of the river, and a lot of the folks that work there live the other side of the river. So they actually do use their boats to commute to go back and forth. So there is eventualities in many places throughout North Carolina where people do use their boats for transportation. So I would say that you missed that mark. On the reference to speed, you've evidently not seen a Fountain Power boat. I live across the river from where they test run Fountain Power boats. Let me tell you something. 60 miles an hour is nothing for a Fountain Power boat. Okay, so when you say they're not going in excessive speeds, that's absolutely wrong as well. Come down to Beaufort County someday. We'll show you boats running up near 100 miles an hour on a regular basis, okay? So, you know, that's the speed situation is definitely not there. Actually, lived in an area where somebody was decapitated because they were drinking and boating. They didn't kill somebody else. They killed themselves when they ran under a dock at 75 miles an hour. So that certainly can happen. The other part is when you get in a car accident, if you survive the accident, that's a great thing. And you're generally, if you survive the initial wreck, you're usually going to survive afterwards. That's not true in a boat. You go out in a boat, you get wrecked. 9 times out of 10, you're ended up in the water where you're going to drown. Okay? To say that drinking and boating is not as irresponsible as drinking and driving, that's absolutely incorrect. I've owned a boat most of my life. I've been on many a boat. And I can tell you this emphatically. If you're the driver of a boat I'm in, before I'll let you get behind the wheel, I'll toss you overboard. Please vote green on this.
What purpose, gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, rise.
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
I think what's important to understand is this bill is the unintentional. The unintentional. This is not necessarily alcohol. This is not necessarily partying. This could be your blood pressure medicine. This could be accidentally taking 2 pills instead of 1, helping your son put the boat up on the ramp and pinning somebody between the boat and the dock. Not just that, this bill also requires, the judge has no discretion. Imagine your grandfather is helping you put the boat on the ramp after taking too much blood pressure medicine by accident. Somebody gets pinned between, and some of you may say it's hyperbole. Every day in court we have situations that people think are just, that would never happen. It does happen. Imagine your grandfather took 2 pills instead of 1. Somebody gets pinned between the boat and the dock. The minimum sentence, no discretion, the minimum sentence that your grandfather would be sentenced to is 5 years and 4 months in the Department of Corrections. I'm not telling you how to vote for the bill. I just want you to know what you're doing.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative John Rice.
Debate the bill.
Gentlemen has the floor.
Members, I'm not going to reiterate what I said the other day on an amendment requiring and mandating that a judge impose a specific sentence in each and every case of a particular charge that appears before him or her. I've told you my experience, thousands of cases, many are similar, no two were exactly alike. We're handcuffing our judges by doing this. That's not the way our system works. I'm voting no. I respectfully request that you do so as well. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman Rice.
Speak on bill second time.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me clarify a couple of things. Number one, this does not apply to blood pressure medicine. That was clarified when we passed Cheyenne's law.
Mr. Speaker,
I'd like to ask the representative a question.
Representative Rogers, Representative Pittman, does the gentleman yield?
Not at this time.
He does not yield. The gentleman from Cabarrus continues to have the floor.
It was clarified when we passed Cheyenne's law, we were discussing that this does not apply to prescription medications. No, that's not wrong. That's the way it was. The other thing is, since the intermediate punishment portion was taken out of the bill, it does not tie the judge's hands. It simply puts it into that classification that usually carries active sentencing. It doesn't say any longer. It did originally say at least a quarter of the maximum. It no longer says that. The judge can do active sentencing of whatever period of time he or she feels is applicable. So those two things are misconceptions about this bill. Thank you.
What person, gentleman from Rutherford, Representative Rogers, rise.
Debate the bill a second time. The
gentleman has the floor.
I'm an attorney. I have the utmost respect for preachers, not a preacher. I'm an attorney. I will tell you, an impairing substance is any substance that can impair you. And that can be too much blood pressure medicine. If somebody tells you that's not true, they haven't read the law. They may have heard from somebody, but they've not read the law. Blood pressure medicine, any medicine, anything can impair you, and you can be convicted of it for that.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 151 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Clerk, clock machine, record the vote. 43 having voted in the affirmative, 69 the negative. House Bill 151 has passed on its second reading. Strike that, failed, excuse me. And will be placed on the unfavorable calendar. My math's not that bad. House Joint Resolution 900 is removed from this evening's calendar and calendar for tomorrow. Members are going to do a few referrals and advise the body on where we are schedule-wise. House Bill 147, elected officials concealed carry, withdrawn from Committee on State Government, referred to Committee on Rules. House Bill 581, driver's license designation autism, strike the referral to the Finance Committee. The Rules Committee referral remains. And House Bill 861, the Back to Work Integrity Act, is removed from Committee on Finance and referred to the Committee on Rules. Members, for your planning purposes, tomorrow we're going to have an admin session at 10 o'clock. There will be no votes at that time. Members are, we'll just need a couple of members here to do to approve the journal and to do the normal opening, but there will be no votes of any kind whatsoever. The Rules Committee, I believe, is going to be meeting after session this evening to take up bills. Members should expect to see those on the calendar tomorrow. We will assess adding bills from committees tomorrow as well to session. The voting session tomorrow afternoon will be at 3:30 in the afternoon. 3:30 in the afternoon. There are a number of committees that are going to be meeting. There are committees that are meeting at 3. Without objection, the chair is going to waive the 15-minute rule to allow those committees to read right up until the beginning of session at 3:30 to dispose of their business as well. Members, the good news is I can tell you that we are actually moving quite well and we are ahead of schedule. Those who have been here a while may remember times that we were here into the wee hours of the morning, sometimes 2 and 3 a.m. We were still here as late as the guys like Bobby Hanning and Harry Warren get here. Those actually used to happen. I see no reason at this point that that's going to have to happen. And by allowing the structure that we have with the committees meeting in the morning and doing the session in the afternoon, I think this is working well. And we just covered a lot of bills in a very short period of time. To those who are watching who are not necessarily on this floor right now and wonder how in the world does the House conduct all those bills and give them a thorough hearing in such a period of time, as members are aware, before these bills ever make it to this House floor, they have gone through at least one, most of the time two committee hearings, sometimes more than that, where they have been vetted that entire step of the way. And so once they arrive at the floor, that's kind of the final step in the process before they get set to the Senate. So I want to commend the members for working so diligently to see that we did this and work and cooperating to see that we've transacted our business fully on a Monday today as well. But we're on a good trajectory at this point to be able to complete our business and resolve all of the bills prior to the crossover on Thursday. The chair would like to go ahead and make a request of both the majority and the minority leaders at this point that would ask to be binding on all members, and that is in order that we don't have to have too harried of a day on Wednesday to try to get everything crammed in and avoid having second readings on Thursday. The chair would ask that members waive the objection to third reading for bills that are calendared for Thursday. If that isn't done, the only thing that I can do is guarantee that all bills get heard on Wednesday, which could result in an arduous day on Wednesday. So the chair would ask majority and minority leaders, is there anybody have an objection to waiving the objection third reading? Any member have a problem with that? Any member at all?
Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir, Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think all that I would ask would be to have some clarity as early as possible on what bills we may expect to hear on Thursday. So if we see that they're calendared for committee on Wednesday, I think that would be perfectly adequate. But if all of a sudden bills get calendared on Thursday morning that we didn't have time to prepare for by Wednesday, then that would be a little bit difficult to adhere to your request.
Well, the chair doesn't know. Because the bills will be coming through the committee process and there may be some committee hearings Thursday. Let me just be candid on what we're hoping to do. What we hope we're able to do is actually dispose of all this by Wednesday. That's the plan, to try to get it done. But I've seen instances where bills have passed with a majority on a Thursday and objection a third. There's ways around it, but so that we don't have to run into a purpose of, I'm just trying to make life simple for everybody to plan so we don't have to have an extraordinary long day Wednesday. That's all.
So, may I ask another inquiry of the chair? So, Mr. Speaker, then would you agree that every bill would at least have its first committee hearing by Wednesday?
I think so. I need to find out what the schedule is because there may be something that has to get added on. I'll say this. Anything that's probably contentious is going to probably already have had its committee hearing. But I've seen, Representative Meyer, I've seen bills that were just incidental, that were not controversial, and one member just wanted to object because they maybe didn't like the member that ran the bill or something. But if we could at least start with a general concept that folks are willing to waive that, I think that may allow the process to go easier. But
right, thank you for hearing my concerns, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Yes. So just to be clear, is there objection to suspension of Rule 41 for Thursday?
Mr. Speaker?
Representative Martin, gentleman's recognized.
Thank you for, I guess, a parliamentary inquiry. I don't know that we want to object, but to further my seatmate's point, I don't think we're ready to waive that right completely, but I can certainly say as one of the members of our caucus whose job it is to occasionally try to make your life difficult through procedure, I want to get out of here Wednesday also, and I'll do everything in my power to do that and not make any sort of objections just to delay it. But we do need to reserve the right to give bills due process and allow us time to consider them. And as long as you give us that, I don't see any of us objecting to it. But I'm not willing to waive that right quite yet.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll revisit it on Wednesday. We'll see what bills are remaining that may come up for Thursday, and that may be the way to deal with it. Fair enough, everybody? All right, we'll do that at this point, Mr. Corp. All right, for what purpose, gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we're going to caucus tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Please check your emails. I do understand that there'll be committee meetings either ending or could be in process and conflict. That's the only window we had. So if you need to be in committee, be in committee. If you can be in caucus, I ask that you be prompt and we'll get through as quick as possible. Thank you. It's 11 o'clock. Notices have been sent to your emails. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Soka Rice.
For an announcement.
Gentleman asked for.
Committee on Energy and Public Utilities will meet tomorrow at 3 p.m. in room 643. In addition to the two bills listed today, we've added House Bill 831, 844, and 885. Thank you.
For what purpose, lady from Johnson, Representative White Rice.
For an announcement.
Lady has four.
Somehow the Health Committee got left off the calendar, but we will be meeting from 10 to 12 tomorrow in 643. We have 12-plus bills on the calendar, so we'd appreciate everyone getting there on time and working hard. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell Rice?
An announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Judiciary 4 will meet tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I normally don't announce it if it's our regular time in place. That's actually our regular time, but we're going to meet in room 425. I don't expect to change that we will have only one bill. It should not take long, but we need a quorum, and I hope you can be there.
For what purpose, the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis Rice?
Inquire the chair.
Members of the House will come to order. Gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, there's a Judiciary 1 committee at 3 o'clock tomorrow. We have four bills to be heard. I'm pretty fast, but I don't know if I can do all four bills in 30 minutes. What would happen to the bills that we were not able to reach at that committee meeting?
First off, I have great confidence in the gentleman's skills, the chairman, and have no doubt that it'll be able to get done. If there is an issue, what I would say is this: send word to the chair that the committee needs a little extra time, and we can certainly work through that. And glad to make that accommodation. That's the same for other committee chairs. That's the same for the majority leader and the minority leader as well. If there's additional time needed, a lot of what I'll need to do when I come in at 3:30 is to wrap up other admin business. So just like today, when the Republicans were still caucusing, I went ahead and started matters and got all the administrative business out of the way. But if you need that time, Representative Davis, you know we'll work with you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir. For what purpose, gentlemen from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise.
Mr. Speaker, for an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Members of the State Government Committee, you've probably seen that committee, which was normally scheduled for Wednesday, was moved to Tuesday. It was moved back to Wednesday, and it was moved back to Tuesday. As I know right now, it is back to our regularly scheduled time on Wednesday in the regular room. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Clerk, check these to modify in an earlier referral, House Bill 861, the Back to Work Integrity Act. That bill is withdrawn from the Rules Committee. Refer to the Commerce Committee with a serial referral to the Rules Committee. For what purpose, gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
We'll have a meeting of the Wildlife Committee tomorrow at 2 o'clock, room 1228. We have one bill. I just need a quorum. It's non-controversial. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Members, we have Committee on Land Development tomorrow. We're going to attempt at 10:30. We have two bills. Shouldn't be long. And we'll work with everybody to see if we can get a quorum there and pass those. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Columbus, Representative Jones, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentlemen has the floor.
Transportation policy, we'll meet at 10 a.m., room 1228. Be prompt because we're going to match the gas.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I've submitted a representative statement with the clerk, and I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment. This report across the journal would like to be recognized to speak to that statement.
So ordered. Chair directs that. The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege. The House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, the members of the House. I stand to honor the life and legacy of Coach Bobby Vaughn. He died on May 5th. He was a legendary coach at Elizabeth City State University, he died at the age of 93. And Bobby Vaughn was just not a coach. He was the first coach recruited at Elizabeth City State Teacher College at the age of 19. After his college career, he was recruited to the Army, where he spent 2 years. And in 1949, at the age of 21, he began this amazing career after the military for a 37-year career at ECSU. He then turned to become the first head basketball coach and first athletic director, but also was a professor, a department chair, and a mentor and advisor to thousands. He was initiated into the Omega Psi Phi chapter at Virginia State University, where he also then came to Elizabeth City State University and founded the Lama Gamma chapter on May 14th, 1954. During his career, he was named the Eastern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference Coach of the Year during his very first season. He oversaw the construction of ECSU's first gymnasium, and they eventually built it and named it in his honor. In his career, he led his team to 502 career wins and 2 CIAA championships. In 1957, Coach Vaughn became the first athletic director until his retirement in 1986. And then he continued to teach in the Department of Physical Education from 1957 to 1978. And so I stand because this man meant so much to the Elizabeth City State community, the Elizabeth City community, the athletic community across North Carolina. He was a Hall of Famer, a Hall of Fame coach of athletic directors as well. And I want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to hear and understand how important he was to the state of North Carolina. Thank you.
Thank you. For what purpose, the lady from Wilson, Representative Cooper Suggs, rise.
Mr. Speaker, a point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor.
I just want to say that I have the best L.A., Caroline Enloe, and I want to wish her happy birthday today.
What purpose, gentleman from Watauga, Representative Pickett, rise.
Point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor.
Folks, today is a day of remembrance for the tragedy that happened in Watauga County over a week ago. We laid them all to rest this weekend, and I hope that you would please keep all these families in your prayers from this day forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, May 11th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Soka, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, May 11th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
Reading of a representative statement.
A representative statement honoring Coach Bobby Vaughn. Whereas on May 5th, 2021, legendary Elizabeth City State Coach Robert L. Bobby Vaughn died at the age of 93. And whereas Bobby Vaughn graduated from Virginia State College at the age of 19, and while attending graduate school at Columbia University in New York, he was recruited by Elizabeth State Teachers College to become his first head basketball coach. And whereas before he could begin his college career, Bobby Vaughn was drafted to the U.S. Army, where he would spend 2 years. And whereas in 1949, at the age of 21, Bobby began what would become an illustrious 37-year career at ECSU, serving not only as the first head basketball coach and the first athletic director, but also as a professor, department chair, and mentor, advisor to thousands of students. And whereas Coach Vaughn was named the Eastern Collegiate Athletic Conference Coach of the Year during his inaugural season, oversaw the construction of ESCU's first gymnasium and built a championship-winning athletic program, leading his term in 502 career wins and two CIAA basketball championships. And whereas in 1957, Coach Vaughn became ECSU's first athletic director, a position he held until his retirement in 1986. While serving as athletic director, he also served as the first chair of the University Department of Physical Education from 1957 to 1978. And whereas during Coach Vaughn's tenure at ECSU, he documented the university's athletic history and later donated his collection of papers and photos to university archives. He wrote Elizabeth City State University Sports Legacy, Coach Bobby Vaughn, 1949 to 1986. And whereas Coach Vaughn served as president of the CIAA and was then named lifetime honorary president. And whereas Coach Vaughn was inducted into the Hall of Fame of the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletes, Hall of Fame of the CIAA, Hall of Fame of Virginia State University, and Hall of Fame of Elizabeth City State University. He received many other accolades and honors, including being awarded North Carolina Order of Longleaf Pine and named the News and Observer's Tar Heel of the Week. And whereas Coach Vaughn was one of only three coaches in North Carolina to distinction of winning 500 basketball games and having building names in their honor while still living, ESCU's R.L. Vaughn Center was built in 1976. And whereas Coach Vaughn was a dedicated and passionate member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity, Incorporated, having been initiated into a new Psi chapter, Virginia State University in 1946. He and Dr. Arthur L. Bagley, Pennsylvania State University, 1947, Mu chapter, funded the Lambda Gamma chapter of ESCU in May 14, 1954. And whereas upon Coach Vaughn's death, Chancellor Kerry G. Dixon remarked, "Coach Vaughn's legacy exemplified exceptional distinction to his students and to ECSU. He has made a significant impact in the university and community, and he will be missed by so many. And whereas ECSU Athletic Director George Bright said, for all of his accomplishments as a longtime Viking coach and administrator, his rich personality clearly defined him. He oftentimes spoke of his best title being father, grandfather, and husband, and mentoring decades of coaches and players with a boundless love for Viking Nation. I will miss him dearly. Now, therefore, Coach Robert L. Bobby Vaughn deserves to be honored for his outstanding contributions to Elizabeth City State University and to athletes. A witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 10th day of May, 2021, submitted by Representative Zach Hawkins, James White, House Principal Clerk."
Representative Destin Hall is recognized to send forth the rules calendar and operations of the House Committee report. All these bills will be counted pursuant to Rule 36B for May 11th. They're all reported favorable. House Bill 175, Retired and Treasury Technical Corrections Act of 2021, Agency Bill. House Bill 435, Special Registration Plates. House Bill 522, Modify Service Release of Alternate Jurors. House Bill 647, Enhanced In-Service Retirement for LEOs. House Bill 676, New Architect Recruitment Act. House Bill 685, Electronic Transaction Fees, Official Fees. And House Bill 735, Minimum Contracts, Coastal Dredging Services, all calendar 36B for May the 11th. Representative Destin Hall is recognized to send forth the Rules Calendar and Operations of the House Committee report. House Bill 213, Kelsey Smith Act, favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1, committee substitute number 1, placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute number 2 for House Bill 213, calendar 36B for May the 11th, which is Tuesday. House Bill 496, property owner's right, tree ordinances, favorable committee subs number 2. Unfavorable committee substitute number 1. Committee substitute number 1 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute number 2 for House Bill 496, calendar 36B for Tuesday the 11th. House Bill 211, reopen bars and restaurants, favorable committee substitute number 3. Unfavorable committee substitute number 2. Committee substitute number 2 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute number 3 for House Bill 211, calendar 36B for Tuesday the 11th.